Better Leaders, Better Schools, episode number 13.
Welcome to the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast, where school leaders go to find inspiration and learn world-class strategies from top influencers in education. Better Leaders, Better Schools was created by Daniel Bauer.
To our viewers, to our listeners, why do I say viewers? We're a podcast. Sorry about that. So raise your hand if for your break you...
Hi, this is Daniel Bauer from Better Leaders, Better Schools. I help school leaders create a winning culture, focus on the essential, and lead with courage and integrity. The blog and podcast was made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Get more content and resources at betterleadersbetterschools.com. Better Leaders, do you need some winning leadership phrases? Download my free gift to you, The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders. The 15 Phrases of Effective School Leaders is an MP3 where I share a variety of phrases that have served me so well over the years in all my leadership positions. Get it now for free by texting PHRASES to 33444. That's PHRASES, PHRASES, to 33444. Or by visiting the website betterleadersbetterschools.com. Today's podcast is brought to you by audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. Start your free 30-day trial and grab that free book right now at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. And now it's time for some 5-star reviews.
And look who just walked in the door. My God, I think I'm experiencing deja vu. How do you say that when it's 3 times? But listen, we have some awesome 5-star reviews to read today. We love to show love to the people that love on us and help us stay relevant in the iTunes store. So, Ibe, what do you got for us for 5-star reviews?
All right. So, we have two great 5-star reviews. The first from Joel Borges. I apologize if I'm butchering your last name here. But he says, way to go on getting this podcast out there. Well done, Daniel. The only way education can grow and become better is through more impactful leadership. This show is an excellent resource. From Joel and Dr. Pai, husband and wife hosts of Relaunch. And then the second 5-star review is from the Consciously Speaking podcast. Unfortunately, I think your name got cut off at the end. But nonetheless, you say, I love that this show is approaching leadership at its roots. Thank you for putting this together for all of us, Daniel.
And guys, we just thank you so much for leaving us those reviews. We definitely are very appreciative of that. We got this. Ivy, what's up today? What are we discussing?
All right. So we have 3 awesome tips we're going to be talking about. First, we're going to be talking about taking breaks, then building relationships, and then building on that tip when we're going to be talking about building teams. So let's go ahead and get started. I've been really looking forward to getting back on this podcast thing. So the first is about taking breaks. And when I immediately think about that, I think about how it's very easy to take breaks when there's a project or a task that I don't want to do. I just find so many creative ways to just not do it and just reward myself for 5 minutes of working, even though I just started working. So, Daniel, though, but let's be real. Let's try to apply it to a situation where we actually really enjoy a project and we're really motivated and really passionate. How has taking breaks been helpful for a project in that space where you've been really excited about it, been zoned in, locked in, but how has kind of finding that balance between taking a break been helpful?
You know, and even before we get to the helpfulness, I guess, of the balance of work and then taking breaks, one thing that I think you just shared that's really brilliant is to be aware, to be cognizant of when you're doing stuff that, you know, you mentioned it as a treat, but sometimes it's kind of just like even a distraction. And I noticed sometimes at my job when things have gotten kind of hard and I feel overwhelmed, I start cleaning or I start like organizing stuff, and it doesn't help move the needle in terms of any highly leverageable task I'm trying to complete. It just makes me feel good, because if I could clean my desk, you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but if you do it too frequently, you're not taking a break in terms of balance in rejuvenating. You're taking a break because you're probably just afraid of the work, or maybe even afraid of failure. But I think breaks are so important. Definitely you want to balance what you're doing at work. And some of the things that I've been doing that have been very helpful recently, and this kind of happens too, because with marathon training and getting injured and that sort of stuff, through physical therapy, my physical therapist really taught me a lot about just different type of stretches and yoga poses that are good for runners. And so sometimes, you know, you feel like you've been sitting for a while or mentally you're exhausted, just doing 5 minutes to do a few different poses and stretch out can definitely recharge my battery. And the other thing that I think is great too, is this new app I'm loving on the iPhone. I think they have it for Android too, but it's called Calm, C-A-L-M. And I don't know what podcast I was listening to, but I stumbled across it. The guy who created it, I think, was talking to somebody maybe on The Art of Charm. But anyways, this app is just about meditation. And it walks you through just being mindful and being present. And I find that that's also helpful in terms of breaks. So, you know, you're working for a good amount of time. I like to set timers on my iPhone as well. And maybe it's for 20 minutes. So I just have extreme focus and I know I'm stopping in 20 minutes. So I feel this sense of urgency, even when it's like 8 o'clock in the morning, that in 20 minutes, it's almost like I have to leave work, right? And so I just put all my energy into that time and then I take a break, and maybe I pop open the Calm app. Maybe I do some yoga stretches, or maybe it's just walking around the school and connecting with people, with staff members, with kids or whatever. But yeah, I think taking breaks definitely helps me recharge and get ready for that next 20-minute push.
Yeah, that sounds really great. So for the Calm app, does it have music, or is it just recommendations for yoga and other things? Or
yeah, there's no yoga stuff in the Calm app, but what I like is there's a few different really beautiful pictures, and I have one that's set that's mountains and some water. It's just, you know, it's gorgeous. And then in the background, there's some music that sounds like outdoors, and it sounds like wind, or it sounds like some rushing water. So it definitely sounds like being outside. And so with where we live in Chicago, in the urban hustle and bustle, I also find having that mountain scenery and outdoor sounds surrounding me to actually calm me down, hence the name of the app.
That's good. So to our listeners, why do I say viewers? We're a podcast. Sorry about that. So raise your hand if for your break you view Facebook or you get on Twitter, or because that's what I do. And I think it's really interesting listening to what Daniel is saying, because a lot of times when you're browsing through your timeline or whatever, I oftentimes don't feel refreshed after that break. I actually feel I actually might feel a little bit more uptight if there's some issue that kind of wound me up a little bit. But I definitely oftentimes don't feel relaxed. And so, Daniel, can you talk a little bit more about, because I think one of the things that's really interesting about taking breaks is the content of those breaks. And it's very easy to think, well, if I'm not looking at doing the work per se and doing something else, that's really all I need to be able to achieve a break. When in reality, there you have to also think intentionally about what you're doing during that break.
Yeah, that's a great point too. I mean, it's really important to be aware of how connected we are, and that's a good thing in many ways. With this podcast, you know, in a more connected society, we're making friends from 84 different countries, and got hundreds of subscribers and people on our email list, and those are all new people that we could connect with, build relationships, but. What I'm trying to say is, you know, definitely don't, I recommend not defaulting towards doing something on your phone or your computer. So I don't find it rejuvenating to scroll through Facebook or Twitter and really just physiologically, I think it, you're the doctor, you tell me. So, you know, it's bad to have that much screen time. And so I think it's bad just for your eyes. I know I feel really tired when I'm just always looking at my computer. But on top of that, just taking information in all the time is not helpful either. So those yoga stretches or the meditation or just walking and talking with staff members and friends at the school, like, you need a time to let your mind rest as well.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point. I remember when I was a first year medical student, which is a long, long time ago, one of the psychiatrists that was there that's assigned to the medical students to really help with wellness, it reminded all of us the importance of not looking at our phone when we're going to sleep, because the idea is that your brain is still processing the information, and then you're lying in bed, you have 10 million things that are running through your mind. So that kind of relates to taking breaks. And it's important to allow your brain time just to relax and rest. So the last question I have on this topic is going more towards thinking about it from the 10,000 foot view. So Daniel, how can taking breaks be an important part of work culture?
You want to maximize what everybody in your organization can do in terms of producibles and outputs. And if you bleed everybody dry and work them to the bone, they're going to go home feeling spent. They're going to possibly be dissatisfied at the job, and they're not going to have more to give. They'll have no reservoir of energy, of creativity and ideas, if you're always draining them. And so I think taking breaks is a healthy way of saying, we don't expect you to work 24/7, to answer email at all times, and just to always be on. We value pausing within the day to connect relationally and independently with ourselves, maybe through stretching out or meditation or what have you, praying. Or even, reading some scripture or something like that. But I think it helps set a healthy balance for the whole organization top down. And it may seem like it's not going to lead to greater productivity, but there's plenty of research, and maybe we could find something to put in the show notes. But, I even remember just listening to something on NPR talking about a car plant, and they produced like 300-400% more cars off their line when they added more breaks and exercise to the daily routine. So I think from a macro view, you said 10,000 feet above, it's definitely going to lead to a stronger work culture and more productivity.
All right, that was great. And this is it's funny because, as Daniel was alluding to, we don't oftentimes think that we don't oftentimes think that taking breaks goes hand in hand with productivity, but as the research shows, that it's there. Now, moving to the next point, we're going to be talking a little bit about productivity from a different standpoint when it comes to building relationships. And so, Daniel, when you think about leadership, there's different ways of thinking about leadership, and we've kind of talked about that in previous podcast episodes. But let's look at it from something that's very important to you, leading from a servant framework. So leadership being going hand in hand with servanthood. So what's the goal of building relationships in your organization when you're coming at it from that perspective?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, leadership is all about service. And one thing I've learned when I'm doing interviews with other school leaders or just leaders in general, that theme keeps popping up. And so on my worst days, I'm very selfish and I needed everything to run my way. And on my best days at work, I'm definitely others focused and service focused. So I think that just knowing that your people, you feel like, sure, you might be able to improve here or there, sometimes your staff or improve your team. And we'll talk about that in the next section. But these are human beings you're dealing with real emotions, real families at home, and things that they might be challenged by or obstacles in their life. And so I just think it's really important to get to know everybody in your organization on a very personal level. You know, a lot, some places they're all about leading with like your a lot of distance between you and folks in your organization. I want to take the opposite approach. I'm not great at it yet, but you know, letting people know that you care about them, giving hugs, you know, and just finding out what makes them tick. What do they enjoy doing? What are their favorite snacks? What is their family life like? And just going in there and not being afraid of those conversations and just really trying to be present and connect with everyone in your organization.
Yeah, I really love that, that those comments by Daniel, because again, it really speaks to this idea that we shouldn't look at people as numbers, but instead they're people with a story and they have really interesting experiences and things that affect their performance. And it really is important to think about that as we all work together in an organization. And so Daniel, when you're trying to build a relationship with people that your staff, the people that you work with, what does that process look like?
Well, you know, I want to touch on something that you just talked about too, just not just numbers, but in terms of what it looks like, you know, in my school, we just do some very easy surveys and just asking like, when is your birthday? What is your favorite snack? That helps build relationships because then I get to just surprise people from time to time and show up with whatever that snack is. And you should see, I mean, I get so much satisfaction from seeing somebody's face light up because I brought to them their favorite snack. Or we give them a shout out, you know, on their birthday or came and sang to them or whatever. You know, that's kind of silly. But something like you were talking about that they're not just numbers. With students, sometimes when we want to push teachers to really think about kids, because our jobs are very hard in schools, and sometimes you could just see the kids as numbers or start blaming, you know, you hear about families or backgrounds or socioeconomic status, and all these things start becoming like a crutch or a reason why a kid's not successful. And one of the most brilliant strategies I've ever seen used with students, and this could probably be applied to staff, would be to we just take pictures of the students' faces, and then when there's a kid, let's say that they're failing four of their seven classes, we project that picture up on the screen, or if we actually have a hard copy photograph, we staple it or tape it to a wall. And that way it's saying that this kid is not just a number, it's not just a failing student, but this is a human being. We see him or her in the hall every day. We love him. He's important to us. And so you could take that approach with the staff as well. And let me loop back really quick too. I want to give a shout out. I don't know if you ever listen to this, but if you do, there's a really great new addition to our team. Her name is Adrienne Haynes. And she created something that I so appreciate. And she created this staff highlight. And so every 2 weeks, we email our parents and then our staff, just keeping everybody in the know. And it was just some very general questions. And to tell you the truth, I will link those questions in the show notes or some type of whatever, some resource. So if you want to do this at your school or your business. But she had like 10 just really great questions that, you know, you wouldn't even know about this person. And I've read so much and learned so much about my staff through that simple survey, and then being able to share that out through the email has really been a lot of fun. And now I know I can go to different staff members and say, hey, I didn't know this about you. That's pretty cool. You know, can you tell me a little bit more? And it's just like a conversation starter, which is really how a lot of relationships are built, spending time, getting to know each other a little bit deeper, having those great conversations.
Better leaders. Are you looking to upgrade your leadership potential? I have another free gift for you. This one is a PDF which I call 15 Questions Guaranteed to Unlock Your Leadership Potential. Unlock your leadership potential now for free by texting UNLOCK NOW, that's all one word and no spaces, to 33444. Text UNLOCK NOW to 33444 and start reflecting on the 15 questions guaranteed to unlock your leadership potential. Today's podcast is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at betterleadersbetterschools.com/book. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's betterleadersbetterschools.com/book to start your 30-day free trial right now.
That's awesome. That's a really awesome initiative. And one of the things that's interesting to me is that, I guess when I think about my experience, and I'm sure Daniel can attest to this, but when you spend time with your staff and other leaders, it's not just about their growth, you're also growing as well. And I can really relate as being a mentor in science and in my lab. One of the things I did not expect was to really experience the growth that I did, because being challenged by the people that I worked with to really think about how I view things, my own feelings and emotions, how I process it. And I think one of the things is that as you build relationships, it's not just the as a leader working with staff, it's not just the staff that benefits, but you as a leader really benefit as well, as long as you're open to it. And I think that by being open to it, you really show a side of authenticity to the people that you work with that further enhances their relationship.
So, hey, let me share this with you now. And again, I'm gonna make some type of resource in the show notes. So here's an example of the staff spotlight, and I'd like to get granular and take some time with it just to show you guys the power of it. And so here's some basic questions: name, education, what do you teach, what is your favorite thing to teach and why? But then getting into some really great questions that Adrian asked: who's been the biggest influence on your life and your decision to work as an educator? How do you spend your free time? What's your favorite trip, vacation, place to travel? Fun, strange, or interesting fact about yourself. So I won't reveal the staff's member's name here. Actually, I will, because I already gave a shout out to Adrian. But one of our guys, Dom Casteris, he said, "I can never become president of the U.S., but I'm qualified to become the prime minister of the U.K. Now, that's just crazy, right? Like, I never would know this if Adrian didn't connect this survey, but it's beautiful. She also asked, if students had to describe you in one word, what would it be? What is your most prized possession? Where'd you grow up? What high school did you attend? What are you passionate about personally?" And so just questions like that, your favorite book, favorite quote. I never knew, and I like Dom a lot, and I think we have a good relationship. We talk quite a bit, but I didn't even know these things, even though we had that great relationship. So this is one way just to build that type of stuff, is by asking really interesting questions and then taking that extra step and featuring it through an email or some type of, just shout out or whatever, staff meeting. You could do it in a variety of ways.
And so the last question for this building relationships topic is, Daniel, so once you're building that relationship with your staff, how does that affect a leader's vision? Does it change the vision? Does it, further bolster what the original plans were? But so how does building the relationship affect a leader's vision for their organization?
I think it can make you more passionate about the vision and get you really excited about where you're going, because now you feel like you got the right team and you feel very connected to your organization and the people that work there with you. If you remember last time we did these tips, I think that was episode 10. One of those tips was to honor people before your vision. And so the key thing there, you just got to remember, you're not going to accomplish, or you're not going to accomplish to the highest degree possible whatever you're going after, whatever you're chasing after, or as our pastor says, Bill Hybels, you're not going to accomplish your white hot why without people that are passionate with you. So you need that team. So again, just like taking breaks, these are things that you might not see as important as a leader. It's easy to say, I'm going to work the whole entire time, and that makes me an awesome, productive person. Or, you know, I'm not going to get into the messy emotional and relational type of stuff at whatever organization I work, for or at. But if you do, it's just going to maximize everything and add so much positive qualities to your organization. It, It's really worth the investment. So let's pause here really quick for today's sponsor, which is Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download and 30-day free trial at www.audibletrial.com/better. There's over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. That's www.audibletrial.com/better to start your free 30-day trial. And before we hop back into everything too, guys, I have a free gift for you. We talk about it a lot on the podcast, but these are the 15 phrases of effective school leaders, phrases that have served me so well over all the years and the different leadership positions I've had. Text the word phrases, P-H-R-A-S-E-S, to 33444. That's phrases to 33444, and you'll get a 10-minute or less audio MP3, and I just unpack very quickly those 15 phrases that have served me so well. Now back to the show.
All right, so now we've moved on to the third tip, the last tip of this podcast episode.
Hold on, Ivy. Let's take a break right here and recharge, and let's take a little sip of water. It's delicious.
Delicious. Whoa. Wow. Anyway, back to the show. And one of the things that's cool about this podcast episode is that the tips really build on each other. And now we're talking about building a team. So we've moved from building relationships. So hopefully you're in the midst of that. And so, Daniel, kind of moving from that, from your experience, what's the biggest lesson that you've learned in trying to build a team?
I think the biggest lesson I've learned is to really identify what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are, and then to build a team based on what enhances the things that I don't do well. And so I should clearly know what my strengths are. And I want to give a shout out to a resource here I want everybody to pick up, put it in the show notes to make it super easy for you. But there's this book, and Ivy, tell me if you've read it. It's called Strength Finders. Have you ever read that? You did? Okay, you took the assessment and all that?
Yep.
Very good. So, guys, this is, and it's not really necessarily a book to read. You buy it more for the assessment, and this is battery of questions that are going to ask you about, you know, your personality, and at the end, it's going to spit out your top five strengths. So just for time's sake, I'm going to share my top strength, which is being an activator. And so this is great in a lot of ways, because when I get energized and excited about an idea, there's nobody better in the building than taking that idea and running with it and executing. Like, I'm just going to do that at a high level and very quickly. So that's the strength. The weakness is sometimes, and what's interesting is my good friend DeAndre, the principal at my school, one of his greatest strengths is just being able to get building consensus and really collaborating and taking time to talk to a number of stakeholders before making a decision. And you can see how that's in tension with me. And that sometimes, to be honest, gets me in trouble at work, because I want to run ahead, and sometimes I do, without going through that process that he's comfortable with. So, DeAndre, if you're listening, I'm sorry. But the Strength Finders assessment is so great, because after you find out your top five, you can read more deeply about your strengths, what kind of leaders exhibited those strengths, I believe. And it might even talk about how who would bolster, I guess, whatever your weaknesses are or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's really good in terms of identifying your strengths. So one other plug, you know that we're both big proponents. Ivy and I went to the Global Leadership Summit and learned from world-class speakers. And one of those speakers this year was a lady named Sally Krawcheck. And to be honest, I didn't really find her speech the most inspiring. I didn't learn as much from her. But one thing that I did learn, which was worth her time being there, it was brilliant, was the question to ask when hiring. And she gave this this story of being in some type of financial, like Merrill Lynch, you know, company, and they had two very qualified candidates. And one was a male and one was female. And she was also, the context was talking about adding diversity to your team. And so they were really thinking that the guy was the right fit. But when they went deeper into why, it was because he would cause the least amount of friction if added to the team. This guy who was, again, extremely qualified, he had all the same strengths and the same viewpoints as everybody else on the team. And so when you're building a great team, the question she said to ask is, do we have the strongest team in place? And sometimes that means not hiring the highest pedigreed person, the person with the most experience. It might mean hiring, and I think it does mean hiring, the person that might be very qualified and really an opposite of you. So whatever is going to enhance your weaknesses and make that team better, that's really what it's all about in terms of building that team. Finally, last thing to say, if you want to get the notes, you weren't able to attend the Global Leadership Summit, go to betterleadersbetterschools.com/report15, and you can get that report. And I distilled and summarized all the key lessons learned from all the speakers that were there.
Awesome. That was some great content. So now let's keep the train rolling. And the next question I had related to leadership is, especially in education, you know, my observation is that you have different levels of hierarchy. And so I'm just kind of curious how hierarchy helps or hinders your ability to build a team. Like, for example, you have a principal and then you have teachers. So what do you think, Daniel?
It depends on your culture and some of the things you can't control. Because when you have an administrative position, sometimes people just act a little funky around you. I at least haven't figured out a way around that yet, except by building relationships. And with those that I have stronger relationships with, that funk never is never invited into the room. But with people that I'm not as close to, they sit up a little straighter, and you know, that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes that could be an obstacle for building teams or getting the most creative thoughts, or you just even getting honest opinions. And so I have some work to do to build more trust with those people. But hierarchy, you know, I think the best type of organizations, you have an org chart, and it's good to know who's responsible for what. But if you have to go through three levels of people to even just make a decision, then that's bureaucracy, right? And that's what drives us all very nuts. And there's a high level of bureaucracy in Chicago public schools. So wherever you, in my opinion, can eliminate hierarchy and just learn from the smartest people, or really, shouldn't the best idea win when you're building a team, or shouldn't the most creative folks get together to form that team? So sometimes you're going to have to get rid of that hierarchy so that you can form those teams and be effective at work.
All right. And this is something that is piggybacking on the previous question, Daniel. Cause I know that you've had experience working as a teacher as well as an administrator. And I'm just kind of curious, because I think our listeners include both people that are teachers as well as people that are in the higher up positions. But let's focus on the teachers for a second. One of the things I'm kind of curious about is let's say that you identify need as a teacher and you want to go about addressing that. Is it possible to build a team to do that, or is that something you have to delegate to or try to lobby your idea to the administration to then put a team in place? How does that work?
Yeah, I didn't know you were going to ask that, but I'm glad you did. And something at Brooks that we created, actually, while my wife was working there, she led a team. And this was based off of some things that people at our school, to be honest, they were frustrated with. And they didn't like some of the policies that were in place. And to DeAndre's credit, our principal, he didn't run away from those frustrations or objections, if you will, and challenges to certain policies. And he charged Erica, my wife, to build a team and to create a process of where people can have influence. And so I don't see this as bureaucratic. I see it as a protocol of if you want to make change in the building, you have to follow these steps. And so what that team created was something that we now call the Be Better Cycle, the BBC. And basically, if anybody wants to impact the building and make change at a school-wide level, either because it's something new and exciting they want to pilot it, or it's something that we are currently doing that's either not working for teachers or students, or it just needs some tweaks to be more effective, there's a number of steps that they go through to make that change. And I think I'll also link the BBC in the show notes, just as more value to this podcast. And if you're in a school and you want to adopt something like that, you know, I think that's really wise. At least it works very well for our school community. And there's a number of components to it. But the general idea is that you have to find research to support and oppose your point of view so that you have a balanced idea of what's going on. There's a piloting component to the Be Better Cycle as well, so you can test out whatever change you want to make so that it's not just school-wide right away and impact a ton of people. And then it goes through this process where the department chairs or the leadership team in general at the school, then you submit what you want to do. You show the research, you show the pilot and the results of your pilot, and you then submit that to the leadership team, and they discuss it and kind of have a vote if it's something we can do. And either we accept that proposal in total, or we might say, hey, revise these kind of parts, or we might just speak into that proposal. We like where it's going. We like where it's going, but we'd like to add these additions, and then we see if the people that submitted that proposal, if they're okay with it, then it becomes a policy. So it's a very democratic process. It's a very intelligent process, and definitely incorporates a lot of people. So I enjoy it a lot, and I think listeners of the show will enjoy it as well.
Yeah, I really find that to be an awesome opportunity, because I think that one of the takeaways that I hope you take from this podcast is the idea that you can be a leader at any level, and that value should be, we want that value to be implemented at any organization or school that you're at.
And to tell you the truth too, another thing that I really appreciate about that Be Better Cycle is that it's not an emotional or gut, quick draw type decision. It's a thorough process. It's research based, and we say a lot of this stuff in education, but nobody really knows what it means. This is actually, evidence based, research based. It is data driven, right? And so if it produces a positive result at the school, then we're going to go with the policy. And I think that's just a really smart way of making decisions.
As a scientist, I'm giving a standing ovation right now. Okay. So now we are at the main takeaways part of the podcast as we're winding down. And I've really enjoyed this podcast. And I have to say, I learned a lot from talking with Daniel and kind of sharing ideas. And in this podcast episode, we really learned the importance of taking breaks and in terms of being able to recharge. And it's not just taking those breaks, it's the content, what you're doing during those breaks. Because you want to allow your brain to be able to process and to relax, and so that you can have a fresh perspective when taking on new challenges. And the second tip that we looked at was building relationships. And we talked about how important that is in terms of investing in each other and remembering that, that your staff, the people, the other leaders that you work with, are not numbers of people with a story. And that story can have a wonderful impact on your vision and the operation of the school organization in general. And then finally, we concluded by talking about building a team, which is really an extension of building relationships. And it really starts with being able to identify your strengths and weaknesses first, and then finding people that can complement those to create a strong team. So the question is that when you're hiring someone, it's not about who's the most qualified, but who's really going to add the most to our team and what we're trying to do, what our mission and vision statement is. And that's a really critical component to think about. And we concluded by talking about the BBC. Is that right? BBC?
Yeah.
And the take-home message of that is that you can have opportunities for people at various levels to really explore their leadership potential. And I think that's one of the main focuses of this podcast, is to talk about ways to really energize and empower the people that you lead or people that you work with. So Daniel, now that we've done the main takeaways, can you conclude us with the call to action?
My call to action today is to open up the show notes and buy the Strength Finders book and assessment if you have not already done so. I just think it's so powerful to know what your top five strengths are so you can build that team to round out your weaknesses. Some people say, right, just continue to build on your strengths and make those stronger and don't waste your time necessarily focused on your weaknesses. You don't want them to always be a hindrance, but they're a weakness for a reason. The strengths are for another reason. And so I think it's very important to amplify what you do well and to take that to an exemplary level. And a great and easy way to do that is by first identifying what your strengths are. Get the book, take the assessment, and to tell you the truth, I'd love to hear what your top five strengths are. So email me, daniel@betterleadersbetterschools.com. Love to hear what your top five strengths are. Or send me a tweet @_betterschools. So, guys, we'll see you next time. Same better place, same better time.
Better Leaders, thank you for joining us on the Better Leaders, Better Schools podcast. Visit us at betterleadersbetterschools.com, a blog and podcast made specifically for you to help you meet your leadership potential. Please leave a 5-star rating and review for us. Click the podcast artwork and long press the Show Some Love link. This helps the show stay relevant in iTunes and reach a wider audience that wants to become a better leader. If you'd like to connect with me, there are also links in the show notes. The blog and podcast has an audience in over 100 countries, and I would love to connect with you. Connect via email, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, and the website.